Sisi Radha Madhava Juki Prabhupada Jayam Vishnu Paraparamahansa Paribrajakacharya Ashtotarajata Sri Srimadis Divine Grace Abhayacharanaravinda Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Iskon Pratista Acharya Foundacharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Jayananta Kota Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai Namacharya Haridas Srimsikaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Bhashari Gaura Bhakta Vrindaki Jai Jai Sri Sri Radha Krishna Kop Kopinath Shyamakund Radha Kund Giri Govardhan Ki Sri Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai Navadip Simai Podham Ki Jai Sri Gangamai Ki Jai Jamunamai Ki Jai Bhakti Devi Ki Jai Tulasi Maharani ki jai, Sri Harinam Sankitan Gaura Bhakta Vrinda ki jai, Jai Nitai Go Premanandi Haribo, Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda ki jai. All glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glory to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga, all glories to Sri Lepa. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutare Samatha Bhakti Vedanta Swami Namani Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Devi Vasishtha Shunyavadi Paschatara Desha. So we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 4, text number 39. Hiranyakashipu terrorizes the universe. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Kvachit Rudati Vaikunta Chinta Shabala Chaitana Vachit Dhashati Tachchinta Halada Udgayati Vachit Vachit Rudati Vaikunta Chinta Shabala Chaitana Vachitta Shakti Achchinta Halara Udgayati Kvachit Vachit Rudati Vaikunta Chinta Shabala Chaitana Vachitta Vachita Shati Tachchinta Haladahu Gayati Kvachit Vachit Rudati Vaikuntam Chinta Shabala Chetanam Vachita Shati Tachchinta Haladahud Gayanti Kvachit. Vachit Rudanti Vaikunta Chinta Shabala Chaitana Vachitatis Chitta Alada Udgayati Kvachin Vachit Rudanti Vaikunta Chinta Shabala Chaitana Chinta Shabala Chaitana Bhachita Shati Yachinta Ladun Gayanti Kvachin Vachitrudati Vaikuntham Chintasvabala Chaitana Strategies. Vachitrudati Vaikuntha Chinta Shabala Chaitana Vachidasati Achinta Aladavagayati Quachit Vachitvaikuntha Chinta Shabalo Chaitana Vashidada Shadija Ladi Gayati Quachit Quachit, sometimes Rudati cries Vaikuntha Chinta by thoughts of Krishna Shabala Chaitana whose mind was bewildered. Kvachit, sometimes, Hashati, laughs, Tachinta, by thoughts of him, Alata, being jubilant, Udgayati, chants very loudly. Kvachit, sometimes. Translation of Purple by His Divine Grace, the Bhagavad Gita, Narayana Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Because of advancement in Krishna consciousness, he sometimes cried, sometimes laughed, sometimes expressed jubilation, and sometimes sang loudly. Because of advancement in Krishna consciousness, he sometimes cried, sometimes laughed, sometimes expressed jubilation, and sometimes sang loudly. Purport. These verses further clarify the comparison of a devotee to a child. If a mother leaves her small child in his bed or cradle and goes away to attend to some family duties, the child immediately understands that his mother has gone away, and therefore he cries. But as soon as the mother returns and cares for the child laughs and becomes jubilant. Similarly, Prahlad Maharaj was always absorbed in thoughts of Krishna, sometimes felt separation, thinking, where is Krishna? This is explained by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sanyaitam jagat sarvam govinda birahena me. When an exalted devotee feels that Krishna is invisible, having gone away, he cries in separation. And sometimes when he sees Krishna has returned to care for him, he laughs, just as a child sometimes laughs upon understanding that his mother is taking care of him. These symptoms are called bhava. In the nectar of devotion, various bhavas, ecstatic conditions of a devotee, are described. These bhavas are visible in the activities of a perfect devotee. Om Agyanta Midandasha Jananjanan Shalakiva Takshuram Manitandina Tashmayashi Prabhi Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shibashari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Because of advancement in Krishna consciousness, he sometimes cried, sometimes laughed, sometimes expressed jubilation, and sometimes sang loudly. Like a verse in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, five features of Mahaprabhu, telling how the Panchatattva, they sometimes laugh, they sometimes cry, they sometimes dancing, sometimes chanted loudly. This was the, in relation to Panchatattva's giving the holy name of Krishna to everyone. So they become also cried and loved. Almost exactly the same shloka here. So here we see Prahlad Maharaj also is, I see all of these symptoms as a Mahabhagavata. Of course he can't imitate these symptoms of a pure devotee of the Lord. But the point is here, so being always absorbed in thoughts of Krishna, Prahlad Maharaj sometimes felt separation. Where is Krishna? This is explained by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sunyaitam jagat sarvam govinda harinami. When an exalted devotee feels that Krishna is invisible, having gone away, he cries in separation. And sometimes he sees that Krishna has returned to care for him. He laughs as a child sometimes laughs. So here is using the word, he's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When an exalted devotee feels Krishna disappears from sight, he's feeling separation from Krishna. So the feeling is there. Krishna is not in sight anymore. So he's feeling the absence of Krishna. But he's feeling Krishna because he's feeling Krishna's absence. Krishna is absolute, God is absolute. There's no difference between God's name, form, pastimes, paraphernalia, and his absence. His separation is also non-different from it. So they're saying they're feeling that separation. That means they're with Krishna in his feature of separation. That's technically called bhava, bhava expansion. Krishna was explaining to the gopis, don't worry, I'm with you in my bhava expansion. Be satisfied. Gauridas Pandit said, don't deceive me. And you deceive the gopis talking to your bhava expansion. Don't deceive me, you stay here. You cheated the gopis, you deceived them. I'm there in my bhava expansion, don't worry. Don't cheat me and leave. This is when Gaur and I were going to Puri and the deities. They also, you know, they were preaching to him. The deities left and anyway, they were preaching to him. So Gauridas Pandit, don't deceive me, you deceive the gopis like that. But anyway, that was the idea, feeling the presence of the Lord or feeling absence of the Lord. This subject matter is the Lord. There are different aspects of the Lord. So there is no actual separation. Krishna said in his letter to the gopis, you should understand that separation between ourselves is impossible at any time, at any place, under any circumstances, because I am all-pervading. Of course, the gopis criticized Krishna for that. This is for the jnanis, this is what they want to understand, the all-pervasive nature of the Lord. So again, the gopis criticized Krishna like Gauridas. Why are you treating us like jnanis? We are accustomed to love you from the very beginning of our lives, and you're speaking like, treat us like ordinary karmis and jnanis. Not karmis, but jnanis and yogis. You tell us to sit down and meditate on your form and I am there. This is the yogis. Well, the yogis, to sit down. We don't have to do that to remember you. We're remembering you all the time. It's impossible for us to forget. So, yeah, so don't treat us like common jnanis and yogis. We're accustomed to love you from the very beginning of our lives. So this is the purpose of karma jnanis, come to the point of loving Krishna. So they said, we loved you from the very beginning of our lives. Now you're treating us like ordinary yogis, transcendentalists. So this is the... It's inconceivable, and in the nectar of devotion we're advised you don't discuss what is inconceivable. For some or another, we have, it's written here, so it's talking about the symptoms of ecstasy of Prahlad Maharaj, which are on the platform of Haladini, the Haladini potency. That's inconceivable to the soul, conditioned soul. Shambhit Sandini and Haladini, it's inconceivable. The reflection of these three qualities, Sambit, Sandini, and Haladini, are the tamas, rajas, and goodness in this material world. That we can perceive, okay. That we're dealing with at every moment, the three gunas, that we are fully conscious of it. But what is beyond the three gunas, in our present conditioned state, that we cannot know, it's inconceivable. So therefore, if we're advised, the Shastra says, what is inconceivable, don't try to conceive it. you won't get very far. And you'll end up with some speculation. It's beyond reasoning power. Because it is a feeling of a... So this is the nature of bhakti. It's a feeling, it's an expression. So this is how the communication goes on in the spiritual world. It's all done by emotion, by bhava. It's not so much talking, it's just gestures and different things like that. So that when you reach the platform, then it's okay. But until that time, it says better not discuss these topics in the nectar of devotion. It talks about one point. I think it's talking fraternal. No. Yeah, it's talking about Jasoda and those in parental love. And Prabhupada starts to describe a little bit. And then he said, but unless you're on this platform of this transcendence, he said, it's not worth reading on anymore because you're not going to understand what goes on in another realm. So it's not worth discussing or going any further. So, now in the conditioned state, we're in this anatta nivritti. That means we have many anattas, unwanted things in the heart that are blocking our pure love for Krishna. So, in this stage of sadhana bhakti, we're trying to become free from anattas. We see we have anattas. And we're struggling very, very hard to bring the mind back to Krishna. This is the main sadhana. This is the main aspect of sadhana for a devotee who's practicing the art of sadhana. The main aspect is bringing the mind back to Krishna. Wherever the mind is going, Krishna says, you bring it back to the self. Krishna is the self, the supreme self. I'll bring it back to the philosophy, bring it back to the deity, bring it back to service, bring it back to... Anyway, somehow or another, bring them. Don't let the mind go. This is Krishna's advice. So we're struggling to do that. We have to force ourselves to bring the mind back from where it's been. But in the stage of after anatta nivritti, when there's no impediments, it hurts the mind if the mind rushes to go somewhere else after Krishna. It's painful for the mind. Of your love for Krishna, your development of love for Krishna. You don't want to lose Krishna's presence for one moment. So if the mind goes off, it's painful. Now we're struggling so hard to bring the mind back there. It's completely the opposite. It becomes painful if the mind goes away. So it's a complete reversal of feeling. So, so Mahaprabhu also, he never discussed intimate devotional relationships with Ramananda Roy, he did, and Srip Damodar. But mostly with the philosophers like Prakashananda Saraswati Thakur and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, then he spoke philosophy, the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. So although Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was pierced as Panchatattva, you never find any example where he was speaking this Rasatattva with Nityananda Prabhu or Advaita Prabhu. Gadatha Prabhu, who is allowed any potency, but you never see that they were an intimate discussion. With Srivas Thakur, a pure devotee, only with one or two devotees, Mahaprabhu was very select. So, so even what the Panchatattva couldn't experience, Mahaprabhu, he wasn't discussing freely with him. And Panchatattva, they're the Yuga avatars actually. They've come to give us this process of bhakti. They come to awaken the process of bhakti. There is the a progression. The Panchatattva are a progression. These five features of Godhead, and we have to go through these this progression, these five features, because they're the Yuga avatars. So we're obligated to follow their process that they have given for the Dharma of the age, Harinam Sankirtan. So Srivas Thakur, he represents the pure devotee. He is Narad Muni. Narad Muni is a pure devotee of the Lord. Everybody knows. So he's the incarnation of Srivas Thakur. He's a pure devotee of the Lord. So he's the, in the beginning of spiritual life, what's the first thing we do? The first major step we do? What? What? Sabu? Sadhu Sangha, yeah, which includes? Initiation, thank you. Includes initiation. This is part of the process. You get initiated into the parampara, so you get your connection, your sambandha is. So Srivas Thakur is like that. He gives you, we take shelter at the lotus feet of a pure devotee. Expression we're always hearing, take shelter of lotus feet of pure devotee. So that represents Srivas. So your guru, you take shelter of, he's representing Srivas in the beginning. And then the what does a pure devotee do? He gives you the process of Krishna consciousness, the process of the previous acharyas, the process of the parampara. So who is the Acharya? Advaita Acharya. So he's representing the process of Krishna consciousness. Advaita Acharya is famous for bringing the process of Krishna consciousness, because he was the one of the biggest preachers of Krishna consciousness. And he's calling the Lord here by his loud. He was famous for these two things, Advaita Acharya. So the Acharya, the pure devotee gives us the message of the Acharya. So therefore at that point also the guru represents Advaita Acharya according to your realization. And what happens when you follow the process of the Acharya? and Atanavritti goes, and then the next step, Shuddhasattva, the spiritual platform, you come out of the material world, out of the three modes of material nature. This is the main function of the Guru. He takes you out of the three modes of material nature and puts you in the transcendental realm. The Shuddhasattva, who is the controller of that energy? Nityananda, Balaram. He is the potency, he is the existential potency, Sandini. He expands as the existence of the Dharma. And Krishna can come and perform his pastimes. Because Krishna cannot come to the material world. So Nityananda comes and he creates the Dharma, then Krishna can come in Vrindavan Dharma, in Navadvipa Dharma, and perform his pastimes. So Balaram Nithai, they become the dust of the Dharma, because Mahaprabhu was going to walk around. They become bed where Mahaprabhu lay down, Anantashesh, his Balaram expansion, Nithinanda, then the Lord can lay down. Wherever the Lord will come and sit and perform pastimes, and that is an expansion of Nithinanda, the existential potency. Shuddhasattva existence. So that's great. Guru is at last taking you out of the material existence. In other words, you've finally let go after hearing millions and millions of times. And then you realize, yes, what they've been saying is true all this time. But I've still been attached to trying to play around with the three modes of material nature. So anyway, now I've completely give it up. Then we can actually transcend and come to the spiritual realm. And then everything starts to happen at that time, because that's alive, that nature is eternal, it's alive. It's not in the material world, we're playing with dead matter. The three modes of material nature are just moving dead matter, so it's unalive, it's dead. When we get there, it's something brand new, it's alive, fresh at every moment. That's why I say it's inconceivable in the conditioned state, so therefore it's nectar devotion says you shouldn't try to understand the inconceivable in a present state of consciousness. First cleanse your consciousness, then you can understand. Chetodarpana Marjanam, this is the beginning of Mahaprabhu's movement. Cleanse the heart. Then all of these different features can be revealed, all these different bhavas, these emotions of the Lord, they can be revealed. But if you're not on that platform, it'll come out mundane. Radha Krishna will become mundane, because the only thing I know about boy and girl is conjugal relationships. So therefore I'm a material, I'll put that same conception on Radha and Krishna. So then we'll end up being offensive, bringing it down to Radha and Krishna to a material level, because that's my experience. I have no other experience beyond that. So Krishna consciousness is there. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he showed the example. Oh, let's see. We were talking about the tattva. Five tattvas. Nityananda Prabhu became the Shuddhasattva platform. Now that's the platform where all the spiritual activities take part. Now, Prabhupada quotes, when he's describing this, he quotes Narottam Das Thakur's song. Vashi hobi shuddha hobi mana. When my mind is purified, kopi homa hiri vashi vrindavan, then I'll be able to enter into Vrindavan. So that is Nityananda Prabhu. Mind becomes purified and you enter into Vrindavan. Yeah, okay. So you're in the spiritual world. Now what do you want to do? Narottam Das Thakur says, when will I be eager to study the literatures of the six Goswamis? Then I'll be able to understand what is Jugala Kishore, what is Radha and Krishna. So Prabhupada said, yes, this is a progression. First you develop your love for Nityananda, then for the six Goswamis. Because the six Goswamis, they represent the Haladini potency. You're in the spiritual world, what do you want to do? So you just don't want to, maybe you want to be a tree or a stone or something in Shantaras. But you want to do something, you want to, some loving exchange should be there. So then that comes under the realm of Haladini potency, that is Gadadhar Pandit. So then at that time, the devotee can see his spiritual master as Gadadhar Pandit. When he's liberated, he can understand by the mercy of his guru, he's revealed the spiritual realm, Nityananda Prabhu. And then Gadadhar Pandit, Haladini Pandit, he reveals the loving exchange what goes on in the spiritual world. So represented by Rupa and Sanatana in this song. And when you get the mercy of Rupa and Sanatana, or the Haladini potency, because they're expansions of Srimati Radharani, Rupa Manjari, and they're expansions, so when you get the mercy of the Haladini potency, then you become attracted to Krishna. Krishna becomes attracted. That's all he's attracted to, that Haladini potency. God's business is pleasure. That's all he's interested in. So wherever he sees a little bit of that Haladini potency, whereas that devotee is exhibiting some, that is my place, Krishna. Haladini seeks him out. Then you can understand Krishna through Haladini. So this is the Panchatattva, how their progression. You can see, when you see where Gauranga is revealed, then as Radha and Krishna. So then you can see your spiritual master as Gauranga, or the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Shakshatri te nashamasta sasti. He's chanting every day. He is not, you see the Guru as no different than Krishna. Why? Because of his intimate relationship with Krishna. He's exactly like that. So in this way we have realization of Krishna through the Panchatattva. Each tattva is a progression. And you can see, it's the Guru reveals one after another in these different aspects of the Panchatattva. That's why Guru is very difficult to understand. Guru Tattva is very difficult. Two tattvas most difficult, Shiva Tattva and Guru Tattva. Shiva Tattva, because Shiva is like yogurt and milk. Milk is nothing, yogurt is nothing but milk, but it's... So it's difficult to understand Shiva. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. His incarnation of Tamagun, he touches the material world, but God doesn't do that. So to touch the material world, then he has a transformation, a little, what do you call it, that? When milk becomes yogurt, transformation. Anyway, so Shiva is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But he has to touch the material energy. So therefore he takes this adulteration. He's adulterated with this like the milk is adulterated with yogurt. Then he can touch the material well. The adulterating principle is, according to the Brahma Samhita, the limited nature of the jiva. Limited? Anyway, one is part of the illusory energy of Maya and the limited potency of the living entity. We are limited in so many ways. For example, we are limited in knowledge. We lack knowledge. We are identifying with this body. We are limited in so many ways. So a portion of that limitation, the illusory potency of the Lord, and a little bit of Haladini potency is there. Otherwise, why a false ego will be attractive? So that constitutes the false ego, the adulterating principle. And then Lord Shiva becomes yoga, and he touches the material world and deals with the material world. Anyway, his tattva is very difficult to understand because he's God and then he touches the material world. So he's adulterated. He has become like yogurt. So it's very difficult to understand, but guru tattva is even more difficult to understand. Because he's representing all the different tattvas. He represents Shivas as the pure devotee, he represents the acharya, as the acharya. He represents the Nityananda as the spiritual realm. He represents the Aladini potency Gadadhar as the holder of Aladini, the pleasure potency of the Lord, and he represents the Gauranga Mahaprabhu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Shakshatari Trinasamasa. So these are the different functions that the Panchatattva perform, and we have to go through these different stages of realization. That's the purpose of the incarnations of the age, you have to follow it. But it works if you follow it. And the example is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself. In his pastime of accepting initiation from Madhavendra Puri, he had met Madhavendra Puri before. He had invited him to his house here in Navadvip to feed him as a brahmana, sannyasi. Ishwara Puri. And then when Mahaprabhu, on the plea of doing pinda for his father, he went to Gaya. And there he met his Ishwara Puri there, and he took initiation at that time. Then he became very serious. Before that he wasn't serious, he was always playing. Nimai was known as being very naughty, but the devotees were always praying, you become a good devotee, we'll pray to you, become a good devotee. So finally he became serious and took initiation. He made the first step, took initiation. But because of his conviction, because of his sincerity in the process of the acharyas, different process of the acharyas, and his implicit faith in the holy name as being none different than Krishna, his Guru Maharaj had initiated him into the chanting of Hare Krishna. And he took it so seriously, the whole process, that immediately he was chanting, he was feeling ecstasy. Immediately. Even when I'm told his guru, I don't know what's happened. I'm chanting this mantra and sometimes I dance, sometimes I cry, sometimes I laugh, sometimes I express all these different jubilations. I think maybe I'm going a bit mad. Can you confirm it? His guru Maharaj said, good boy, good boy, good boy. Keep on doing what you are doing. This is a very good sign. Nama. Nama realization. He had realization of Nama. Name is not different than Krishna. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu immediately realized that. Otherwise, why ecstasy? Why all these symptoms were there? Where was it coming from? Mahaprabhu, he didn't say it's coming from me. It's my own ecstasy. He went to ask his spiritual master, where is it coming from? Where was it coming from? His ecstasy. In the holy name. The holy name is Krishna. But the ecstasy was coming from Krishna in the form of the holy name. So he immediately realized that. And therefore the ecstasy was there. This is like we're talking of a matter of days after the initiation. Days. Then a few more days after that, he went to Kenai Natshala. What happened there? He saw someone. Come on, come on. He ran to see Krishna. Krishna disappeared. Feeling separation from Krishna, but he saw Krishna. He had darshan of Krishna. days, few days of initiation. So he was showing the process. Nama, then Rupa, Rupa the form. Next, Guna. You can read. Chaitanya in the Chaitanya. Oh, I see. This form of Krishna is so attractive. My eyes, they rush to see him. My nose rushes to see him, to smell him. My hands rush towards to touch him. My tongue wants to rush toward him. In this way, my senses are having a competition. It's like a tug of war. They all want to go to Krishna simultaneously. And my senses are tearing me apart. My nose, my eyes, my head. Everything is... At the same time, they all want to go to Krishna. They're in the competition, like they're tearing me apart. Qualities of Krishna. He was realizing the guna. He could hear the sweetness of Krishna's voice. Very sweet. He could smell the fragrance of Krishna's body. Always smells of aguru and other things. But Yasoda every day bathes Krishna with aguru water. So his body has a fragrance and other fragrance. Guna, he was realizing the qualities of Krishna. Next. Lila, pastime. Mahaprabhu, they, he was unconscious and they're all shouting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, trying to wake him up because they were completely disturbed. He looked like he was dead sometimes. So they were shouting, wake up, come to consciousness, external consciousness. Why did you wake me up? Why did you call me back? I was there with all the other Shakyas. We were picking flowers, we were making gardens for Radha Madhava. Why did he bring me back? Why? Leela. He could see the pastime going on. He was entering into the pastime. Nama Guna Rupa Leela. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu showed these things. How very quickly it can be achieved if you are sincere. It's not that Mahaprabhu is God himself, though he can do that. Because he was playing as a Bhakta avatar. But he was playing in perfection. Like we heard someone the other day give the example of Yashoda with a stick in her hand. What was Krishna doing? Shivering. When she caught him, she was shivering in fright. He was fearful. His pearl necklace was going ching, 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 ching. Because his body, whole body was shaking. He always had that stick inside. Mummy, I've been an offender. Please don't beat me. Please don't. He was very, very scared. He wasn't that Krishna. I'm the Supreme Personality of Godhead and I'll make a show before my mother that... No, he was actually playing in perfection. When Krishna does something, he does in perfection. And he was actually scared of that stick and he was shaking. And he was crying. It wasn't a show, it was real. Because he was playing in perfection. Where he plays as a bhakta, he plays in perfection. And because he was so sincerely playing, then everything was revealed to him very quickly, Nama Rupa Guna Leela, to show he's the Yuga avatar, to show how the process works. If you are sincere, if you sincerely follow, very quickly. Bhavananda Prabhu, he asked Prabhupada one time, how can Mahaprabhu say, Chinadabhi Sunichi Tororo Pishishishna? How can he say he's lower than the straw in the street? He's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He comprises the whole universe. How can he say he is lower than the straw in the street? And Prabhupada said he could say that because he understood that I am 1/10,000 size of the tip of a hair. Is God 1/10,000 size of the tip of a hair? He's not. But because he was playing as a bhakta, an ordinary conditioned soul, he was playing in perfection. And he thought, I'm an ordinary jiva, and my size is 1/10,000 size of the tip of a hair. He was playing it in perfection. He really thought that. So, anyway, this is how you can become Janata Vishnu, which thought you can. That verse, which we are supposed to be wearing around our neck, we can follow the example that Prabhupada told. That we are actually 1/10,000 size of the tip of the head. So you have to be humble. It's not a question of practicing to be humble. When you realize you are that tiny, you are actually smaller than the dust. The atomic dust particle, the soul is small. That's our actual size. You have to be humble if you realize that. So anyway, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was exhibiting all these different symptoms. As Prahlad was exhibiting. Now, but we have the examples now, at least. We may not be able to comprehend their platform, but at least we have their example of. So, so the idea is that Krishna's interested in bhakti and nothing else, really. And when I think it's mentioned probably in the Dhuri Kandambini of Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. Anyway, I think it's there, maybe somewhere else. He says, oh yeah, though the devotee, he's practicing devotee whole life, and he gets older, and his family is still pushing him for this, we need this, you gotta go. He's getting old and can't do much, but still due to the family situation, he's bound up. And they're all getting on his case, all the family members, get out and work, get more money, we want. So it interferes with his bhakti. So at that time, Bhakti Devi herself becomes, looks after him. She takes care of the devotees. And she arranges in such a way that the devotee can continue their devotional service. And she said, just like in the case of the devotee's getting an old man and he can't do much anymore. Then Bhakti Devi, she influences the whole family. He's useless, he's getting old, feeble, impotent, getting useless, can't do anything. Let him eat some rice or something like that. So in this way, she fools the whole family, and he goes, he's kind of acting along with it. So he's quite happy, you know. Oh yeah. So this way, the family leave him alone, and they get their resources from somewhere else, so he can absorb himself. But this is all Bhakti Devi is doing. It's her realm. Wherever there is a relationship between Krishna and the devotee, there is Bhakti. Bhakti said, "That's my realm. You get out. Anyone else, you have three modes of material nature, you don't belong here. This is my realm. Bhakti is my realm. So I take charge. I take care. I take care of my devotee." Brahma Samhita. Advaita Machutam Manadi Manantrupam Adyam Puran Purusham Navajuvanam Shabedesh Shudulabam Madulabam Atma Bhaktu Govinda Mari Purusham. Here, in the purport, this is verse 33, in the purport, he's talking about the spiritual realm. How we can approach a spiritual realm, because here it says Vedasya Dulabham Adulabham Atma Bhakta. Even through the Vedas it's very difficult to understand Krishna. So how we can approach the Vedas is a great source of knowledge, authority, but it says that it doesn't have the potency to reach the transcendental realm, because it's manifested through sound vibration and printed out and absorbed with our senses and mind. So how can it reveal the spiritual world, the Veda? How can the Vedas reveal the spiritual world? Similar question to Parikshit Maharaj. He asked the Shukadeva Goswami, how can transcendence be realized? Because transcendence is beyond the mind and senses, but we're dealing with the mind and senses to understand transcendence, but it's beyond the mind and senses. How can you use their imperfect tools? The mind and senses are imperfect. How can they reach transcendence? This was Preachit's question. Same question. So, how can the jiva realize such unprecedented existence? The limited intellectual function of the jivas is always contaminated by the influence of time and space, and it's therefore not in a position to shake off its limitedness. If the potency of cognitive function does not extend to realization of the transcendental, then what else can? Here it's saying we are Satchit Ananda, eternal, conscious and full of bliss. So if our chit potency, our conscious potency, cannot reach the transcendental realm, then what else can? What else have we got to work with? Because that chit is superior to intelligence, it's superior to mind, it's superior to the senses. So if you cannot reach with your chit potency, then how else can you reach? But because of our minute size as a jiva, that chit potency is of a minute size. So it cannot reach the unlimited realm. And they're not in a position to shake off our conditioned nature quickly. Identification is very strong in this material world. You know you're not the body, but we're hearing again and again. But to shake off that completely, it's not. Generally, my consciousness always comes back to me as being the body. So limited, even we don't want to be limited. Due to the influence of space, time, etc. So, if the chit function doesn't extend to realization of the transcendental world, what else can? In reply, Brahma says that the transcendental absolute is beyond the reach of the Vedas. Vedas originate in sound. Sound originates in the mundane ether. So the Vedas cannot present before us a direct view of the transcendental world, Goloka. What is our hope? What is our... It cannot, is it? It is only when the Vedas are imbued with the chit potency that they are enabled to deal with the transcendental. So when the Vedas are imbued with the chit potency, it means when the person, the pure devotee, who has realized his chit existence potency, he explains the Vedas, he relates the Vedas or the parts of the Vedas that are connected to Krishna, then it will become transcendental. But, so the Vedas, they can't reach unless they're imbibed with the chit potency. It is only when the Vedas But Goloka reveals itself to every jiva soul when he is under the influence of the spiritual cognitive potency joined to the essence of the ecstatic energy. So there it's saying that yes, two things are needed. The chit is there. Chit means consciousness, aware. We're aware of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We're aware we're jiva souls. At least philosophically, we're aware of the transcendental realm. But because of our minute size, it's not powerful enough to attract Krishna. But when that chit potency is joined to the haladini potency, the pleasure-giving potency, and is used in that function, you're in the spiritual realm, but still you're not powerful enough to reach Krishna. But when the haladini potency, when you're in the spiritual realm with the conception of you're Krishna's servant and you're acting to please Krishna, you with your chit, with your, you're aware that you're Krishna's servant, he's the Supreme Personality, and you're serving Krishna to please him, that's you're taking advantage of the haladini, the pleasure potency. So when the two combine, the chit and the haladini potency combine, then Krishna becomes attractive. And he sends his haladini potency and chit potency to meet the small jiva's haladini and chit potency. Then the relationship is established. We cannot do it by ourselves. We're too infinitesimal, we're too small, we have no potency, enough potency. But when Krishna sends his potency, his chit, his ananda, which is unlimited, then he meets the small jiva's chit and ananda. Then the relationship takes place, then bhakti begins, the whole relationship is established there. This is the ecstatic function of devotion is boundless and is surcharged with unalloyed transcendental knowledge. And that knowledge reveals Goloka Tattva, the principle of the highest transcendent, in unison with devotion, without asserting itself separately, but as a subsidiary to unalloyed devotion. In other words, when bhakti comes, bhakti has its own knowledge. It's nothing separate. Bhakti, the knowledge coming from bhakti is a secondary aspect of bhakti. What's the other example? Vidyanaga. Vidyanaga. Place of knowledge in Navadvip town, the town of Vidyanaga. Jiva Goswami, he asked Mahaprabhu, Nityananda Prabhu. Here all the knowledge is manifested from Vidyanaga. All the rishis, the six great propounders of different philosophies, they have their seats there in Vidyanaga. Everyone has. Jaimini, Kapila, Uttam, Kanada, Ved Vyas. They all have this. So they're all propounding different systems of philosophy. So Jiva Goswami says, if knowledge, naya, logic, knowledge, these are all considered inauspicious. We read again and again, karma, jnana, yoga, it's all useless, only bhakti is. So he's saying, but we hear again, it's useless. Karma, logic, and naya, and jnana, it's all useless. And Nityananda Prabhu said, no, jiva, it's not useless. He said, when it's used properly, when that is used, when naya, when logic and knowledge is used to reveal the high position of bhakti, then it is not inauspicious, it becomes very auspicious. So even though it's in the Dharma, but when they're used properly in serving Krishna, then they reveal Krishna. They become an aspect of it. So, but this knowledge is an ananga of bhakti, it's not something separately. It, bhakti brings its own knowledge with it. So, Yeah, anyway, so that's your idea. So, yeah, Bhakti descends and she takes care of everything for the devotees. So that's why it's a very, very, something very, very confidential. It's another realm we're dealing with. So anyway, somehow or another, Prahlad Maharaj's descriptions are there, and the descriptions of Panchatattva are there, Mahaprabhu. Yeah, otherwise we're advised to not try to discuss that which is inconceivable. So Mahaprabhu's philosophy is Chintavedavedi Tattva. Inconceivable simultaneously, one and different. So it's inconceivable that how is it conceived if it's inconceivable? Example is said. What is the example? The Lord is unlimited and we are limited. The Lord is in the finite, we are finite. So how can the limited understand the unlimited? How can the finite understand the infinite? It's not possible. But if the unlimited wants to make himself known to the limited, he can do. If the infinite wants to make himself known to the finite, that's his prerogative. He can do. So this is what we are dependent on. Supreme Mercy, independent Lord, he can bestow, he can do as he likes. So when Bhakti is there, then Lord Krishna becomes very interested. And then revelation will take place by the grace of the Lord. He is the unlimited Lord. We are very, very limited. But if the unlimited desires, then he can make us also the limited unlimited. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Ram. Thank you very much. Sorry, a little bit late. Any comment or question?
Hare Krishna, thank you, Prabhuji. Prabhuji, my question is that you told that it's difficult, like Mahaprabhu followed the process nicely and revelation takes place very soon. So in our case, what precautions we should take that revelation will take sooner? What precautions we should take? Precautions we should take that we will get revelation very sooner.
Yeah, the precautions are the process of sadhana bhakti. Mahaprabhu has come to give Raja Prema. What is inconceivable beyond our perception, Mahaprabhu has come to give that. Namo Mahabhadanaya, Krishna Prema. Take it. Can you take it? Can you accept it? He's giving, take it. All you got to do is chant Hare Krishna, dance in ecstasy. Take the shada. That's all. Can you do it? Can you take it? So if you cannot take it, then he's come to teach Yukta Vayagra. Oh, and then engage everything in Krishna service. This is the process of Vedi Sadhana Bhakti. He's come to give Raganuga Bhakti. Here it is, love of Krishna, just take it. If you can't do it, then here's second best, Vedi Sadhana Bhakti. So that is the process. Bhakti, bhakti. But you cannot teach. You cannot tell someone to love someone or teach someone to love someone. That will come spontaneously. You cannot teach. But you can teach Yukta Vairagya. So first he's come to give prema, because you cannot teach prema. But if you're fortunate enough to be able to take it, then great. But so then you cannot take it, so he's come to teach Yukta Vairagya. Give love and teach you. So that becomes our, what was your word? Counteracting? Yeah, that becomes the counteracting process, the whole process of Vedic Sadhana Bhakti. It works, it's given by Jiva Goswami, Rupa Goswami, Rupa Manjari there. So the system works. It's just our sincerity and how it, the speed, this is mentioned in the Harichanam Chintamani. Two persons approaching the Lord, same time, they both get initiation, parampara, the holy name. They both follow the practice. One is coming from a muchi background, a cobbler, works with leather. One is coming from a suchi family, Brahmana family, good samskara. So Haridas says, Thakur says, who reaches the goal first, the muchi or the suchi? Suchi, obviously there's less impediment. He said, no, it's the one who is more sincere. One who is more sincere about the process of chanting Hare Krishna, he attains the goal first. So his definition was sincerity. That will determine the speed of which you get your bhakti. The result of your sadhana.
What are the factors that makes qualify oneself to perform raganuga bhakti? It's like, what are the factors that makes oneself qualified to perform raganuga bhakti? The factors, like how he can like judge that I am able to do it or not, raganuga bhakti. What are the factors that qualifies oneself?
How to fact? Straightforward, yeah.
What are the factors that qualifies oneself? What are the factors that qualifies oneself to perform raganuga bhakti?
He has already, his attraction for Krishna has been awakened. That's his qualification. The whole process of Krishna consciousness, the awakening process. We're sleeping in the lap of the three modes of material nature. So it's an awakening process. Tamashima. What is it? Jyoti? Come out of the darkness into the light. The whole process of Krishna consciousness is an awakening process.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Guru, for nice class. And one of the points actually you explained that in the spiritual realm, when we are using this chit potency plus lajani potency, still we are not able to reach Krishna. And after some time you just explain that when Krishna chit potency plus lajani shakti, then we are able to reach. So is it like different, because we are also coming from Krishna only. So is this chit potency different from that chit potency?
No, it's you're conscious. Right now you're conscious. That is your chit potency. But what are you conscious of?
Like I'm asking that our chit this chit potency, that is different, or like the next verse when you are explaining that Krishna chit potency, because we all are like coming from Krishna only, so same quality. So is there any something like difference?
We are very tiny. We are prone to become coupled with Maya. It's quite evident. So we are conscious, but we are conscious of the body. We are conscious of my happiness. When consciousness is purified, then we are conscious of Krishna's body. We are conscious of Krishna's happiness. I couldn't hear the question very well, but I don't know if that answered it. Did it answer the question? I couldn't hear properly the question. Somebody else get that question?
Like one point of time we explained like chit potency is there. Chit potency in spiritual realm. When this chit potency, our chit potency plus lajini potency, when it is joined, still we are not able to reach Krishna.
You're right, yeah.
The next point,
the lajini potency, chit potency is very small.
And then again you explained like after some time that when Krishna chit potency plus lajini potency, when it like joined, then we are able to reach Krishna. So yeah, it's like there is a difference between like this chit potency and another, the previous one chit potency which you explained.
The last thing? No, it's one.
Prabhu, when you talked about the progression, you know, from Srivas Thakur to Advaita Acharya, at that time you had mentioned that the purified chitta, you know, when it's at the Shuddha Sattva, and then it progresses to Gadadhar Pandit realm where the chitta and the Haladini potency both are there and you perform pure devotional service.
Yes.
So he's referring to that, and then in the second he's talking about the last thing that you spoke about where we are very tiny and therefore it's only the mercy of the unlimited chitta and then we can get the, you know, get to know the transcendence. So he's not able to reconcile the two. That's what he's asking. He's not able to reconcile.
Reconcile.
Yeah. He's saying, on the one hand, you said during the progression stage, Chitta and Haladini put together are not able to reach Mahaprabhu. And on the other hand, you're saying that, you know, the Chitta per se is so tiny. So is that what you're referring to?
The idea is that Krishna is only attracted to the Haladini potency. So when we bestow that potency from the holders of the potency, then Krishna becomes attractive. So what's happening? His potency is Srimati Radharani's potency. None different. The potency and the possessor. So actually when Krishna establishes a relationship with you, he's interacting with the Haladini potency, which is Radharani. So factually, it's only Radha is enjoying, Krishna is enjoying Radha. That's all that's existing in this world. But simultaneously, you get the experience that you're interacting with Krishna through your Haladini potency. But actually, Krishna is only Krishna is enjoying with Radha, because the Haladini potency is Radha. That's all that's in existence, pleasure, Radha and Krishna's pleasure. And inconceivably we're able to take part in that throughout tiny Haladini potency. I couldn't really understand. Anyway, don't ask me anymore. Anything else? Yes, what is it? The question was similar. They're based on similar questions. Yeah. When everything is used in Krishna's service, then it regains its transcendental nature because everything is an emanation from Krishna. That was the answer, more or less the answer to the question. It's not mundane we're dealing with. When we're connected to Krishna, it's not mundane anymore. It becomes transcendental. And therefore, we're able to approach the transcendental by utilizing this, by transforming the mundane into Chintamani, into spirit. Using the matter to serve Krishna, it takes on its original quality. So the process of bhakti yoga is revives the original consciousness. Hari Bol.
May I have your permission to make a comment? Can I make a comment?
Oh, please.
Yeah. I think I can put it in very easy terms. That is that bhakti is always bestowed. And I think that's what you were saying in your class. And in the just putting it into the easiest terms, that bhakti is always bestowed by either Krishna himself or his superior energies. And there's nothing we can do. We can dash our head against the rock. We can do whatever we want to do until the superior energies of God take their mercy on us and decide to bestow their mercy. Then from that point on, then we can attract Krishna. The living entity is able to come all the way up to the stage of nishta on his own power. But ruchi, ashakti, bhava, and prema is bestowed.
Gift. So therefore the Vedas say the purpose of the Vedas is to achieve the grace of Vishnu or the Lord. We are seeking that blessing. And it can come through devotee. At the school,
the festival of Lord Nityananda today.
No, they're having about 8 or 9 days earlier. The actual tithi is in another 1 week. Yeah, Raghunath Das Goswami got grace. He got the gift. You're from you. Again and again he was trying, Raghunath Das did it. Run away from home. At last, Nityananda's grace, he said, Mahaprabhu will be pleased with you. Yes. Yeah, it's a gift. All spiritual revelation, it's understood as a gift. Hare Krishna. Thank you, Krishna. Gopadiki, Jai Gopremanandi.